بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم أفضل الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب قلوبنا وشفيء ذنوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا، أبو القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد.
Yesterday, we began the discussion about tawakkul and how important this is and what role it played in Karbala. There is a study that has been done that mentions that Muslims, according to this university or several universities, one of them being Cornell University, that mentions that they, based on the study, they have come to the conclusion that Muslims in the West lack self-confidence, or they have low self-confidence. So I want to explore that a little bit. That based on all the different people that they interviewed and surveyed, this is the conclusion that they came to, that Muslims are lacking something when it comes to their confidence. Now, when we look at the lives of the Ahlul Bayt, one of the great lessons that we can see, and again we can witness this in Karbala, is the confidence that Imam Hussein alayhi salam had to not only go to battle with a handful of people, but to take a journey that would be difficult and to take his family alongside with him. One of the famous writers named Charles Dickens, who was an English novelist, he says that the fact that Imam Hussein took his family with him, this is proof that he wasn't out to gain any worldly desire. That it stands to reason that his sole purpose was purely for Islam. Someone who's not Muslim can look at the situation and see that there was something more to the cause and revolution of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. That he was not motivated by becoming a ruler or by wealth or anything worldly. He was only motivated by doing his duty. And he was able to do that because he was confident. But where does this confidence stem from? And this is going back to the topic of tawakkul. That he takes this journey because he has full trust in Allah. He takes his family because he has full trust in Allah. He is not worried about the outcome. He is not worried about what may happen. And he confidently moves forward. If we look back a little bit to the event of Mubahala, we see a similar situation. The Prophet of Allah was faced with a situation that was very difficult. And if we think to ourselves and ask ourselves, would we be able to take our most dear, our most beloved and closest relatives with us and call down the curse of Allah? This malediction, this type of mubahala, is only possible for the person who has pure faith, whose heart is pure, whose heart is sound, and he's sure absolutely that he is in the right. He's not worried about what would happen or if something wrong is going to happen. He's only worried about carrying out his duty, and so therefore he does it with the utmost of confidence. How does he do that? He trusts in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the verse was revealed, فَقُلْ تَعَالَوْ نَدْءُ أَبْنَاءَنَا وَأَبْنَاءَكُمْ, to bring your youth, your sons and our sons, when you know that your sons are Sayyidi Shabab Ahl al-Jannah, Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhim as-salam, then you have no fear against whoever wants to stand in face of them. وَنِسَاءَنَا وَنِسَاءَكُمْ, what woman could you bring to stand up to the perfection of Hazrat Fatima salamullah alayha? And when you have Hazrat Fatima representing all of the women, then you have no fear, you have complete confidence that you are in the right. وَأَنفُسَنَا وَأَنفُسَكُمْ, ourselves and yourselves. And how he it mentions in this verse ourselves is referring directly. Who is our soul or ourselves? That is Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. So when the Ahlul Bayt are the people who are your nearest ones, who are representing you, that means that you have complete confidence that you are in the right. Please recite one salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And for the love of the Ahlul Bayt, please recite one louder salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So there is a key word that we have to pay attention to in this verse. This is the word that gives a person, an individual, complete confidence. Obviously the Prophet, and he is perfect in his character and actions. But if we want to learn from that, how do we deal with situation and have confidence? Let's look at the key word in this ayah, and that key word is faqul. The very first word of this verse. Say this. But who is saying say? Allah is telling the Prophet, you say this to the people. The Prophet didn't decide himself or think of his own opinion. I'll tell them about my family. I'll say Imam Hassan and Hussein and Ali and Fatima. This Ahlul Bayt will be the people who represent me. I'll tell them to do this mubahala in this way. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you say this to them. And because this came from Allah, and he had complete trust in Allah, then this is what gives a human being the confidence to move forward and to stand in, against all odds, against all problems. And the example that we were talking about yesterday, if you're facing a difficulty or in a bad neighborhood, if you're alone, versus if you're with your best friend, or with several people who you trust, or with an whole army of people, how does that constantly increase your confidence? You're trusting on them. But if you do tawakkul ala Allah and trust in Allah, there's nothing more powerful than that. All of these people, your friends, they are subservient. If it was an army, it would still be not as powerful as Allah. So when the Prophet goes to Mubaila, why is he so brave? It's because Allah has given him this command, you do this. And he has complete trust and faith in Allah. One of my teachers gave an example. And we were talking about how Prophet Isa alayhi salam, we have in our riwayat and our traditions as well, that he could walk on water. He says, any person who has tawakkul can walk on water. But the moment that you put your foot on the water, you're going to think, I'm going to fall. I can't stand on water. It's not possible. That means that you don't have that trust that's necessary. He said, any human being can fly. The things that you can do are beyond what we can imagine. The reason why we fall short is simply because our trust is not in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when this study that Cornell University and these other places did, when it looks at Muslims and says that Muslims, they lack confidence, or they appear to lack confidence, what it's essentially saying is that they're not putting their trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're putting their trust in something else. And there's a word that we use often to explain this. They call it self-confidence. And if we are saying that the root, source, and cause of confidence is ourself, then we are mistaken. Then we have made a huge mistake. The idea that our confidence stems from us is a major flaw. The Prophet didn't say that he would do this mubahalah because of how he felt, coming from himself. It was because he said faqul, because Allah sent to him to say this to them. So that gave him the confidence. Imam Hussein knew that it was his obligation to stand up against this zulm and against this oppression. And because this came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what does that cause? It causes him to be completely confident. Because there is no source at all more confident, more powerful than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajjal faraja.
Sometimes you find that Muslims in this country or in the West, for various reasons, they seem to lack confidence. And obviously the root cause is they lack their trust in Allah. So sometimes you find them being insecure or apologetic. After the event of 9/11 happened, so many Muslims felt like they needed to go and explain to people what happened. They felt that it was their duty to tell people that they weren't with those people, and they needed to do so much good things to Christians, to show people that we have solidarity. Why are we apologizing? Why be apologetic for something that you didn't do? Yes, anytime there is a loss of life, it's tragic and unfortunate, especially when these are innocent people. But the reaction by many Muslims in this country was another extreme. I've never saw so many Muslims with American flags until after 9/11. Everybody felt like if we don't carry around this flag, that someone's going to get us. Where is your sense of your trust in yourself and trust in Allah? If you do nothing wrong, you have nothing to apologize for. If you are in the right, you have no reason to be insecure. When it looks at some of the things that it mentions, again in these studies, that Muslims face and challenges, and it talks about how culturally so many things they want to change to adapt themselves to society. To say that I'm a part of this society, to prove that they are a member of society, to prove that they should be accepted like everyone else. But they don't take the same effort and the same amount of energy to prove that they should be worthy of being a companion of Imam Hussein or a companion of Imam Zaman. Please recite Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So this tawakkul, how is it achieved? What can we do to instill this in ourselves? Because when we look at the events that occurred in Karbala, not just from Imam Hussein's side, but those who were with him, his companions, it took a lot of courage to be one of those people who you knew that your death was coming, that you were definitely going to become shaheed, cut off from your family and leave this world. What kind of trust did it take to stay there that night with Imam Hussein? When he already said, you are the best of companions and if you want to leave, you can leave. You've already become the best by standing alongside me to this point, but there's no more days for us. And that there's only Shahada. But their trust in Allah was the source of their confidence. That tawakkul is the source of confidence. There's one more important point. And that is about false confidence. Anytime that there's something that gives someone confidence, but when you remove it, they no longer have that, that is not true confidence. Someone, they dress nicely, and they wear their nicest clothes, and suddenly they feel more confident. But if they're not wearing those clothes, then they don't feel confident. If they're wearing their sunglasses, they feel more confident. They think they look very good. But they take them off and then they feel self-conscious. These fashion statements or all of these things, this is not a true source for my confidence. Because the moment that I remove these things, what happens? The individual, they lose their confidence. Sometimes people have confidence in words. They gain their confidence because someone says something to them. If five people say, you look nice, then they think, well, I actually look nice. If five people say, mashallah, you did a good job, then they feel, yeah, I guess I did do a good job. But where is their confidence in Allah with that time? That if these people were not there, if no one gave them a pat on the back, if no one said this to them, then where would their confidence be? Would they have that same trust and that same faith that they always had? So what we see is a perfect example of confidence in Allah and tawakkul ala Allah. If we want to understand how to apply this, look at what Allama Tabatabai explains about the verse 129 of Surah At-Tawbah. This verse, it says, if they turn their backs on you, and tawallaw, فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّهُ. Say, Allah is enough for me. If everyone in the world was against you, then having Allah beside you would be enough. That if people didn't come and say that you're right, you would still know that you're right because Allah is supporting you. So when people think and wonder, what makes a man fight an army of 30,000 against all odds? It's because he doesn't feel that he's standing for himself and trying to find confidence in himself. He has confidence in his Lord. He has trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The word that Allama Tabatabai says, he says, what it means, this verse, he said, what it means is that you make Allah your vakil. You make Him your attorney. You put your trust and your affairs in His hands. When you have an attorney, he'll take care of the paperwork, he'll write everything for you, he'll represent you, he'll speak on your behalf. He makes sure that you're taken care of. He says, make Allah your attorney. And when you want something done, or when you want to do something, say, Allah, I'm trusting you to take care of this. If you have this approach, this is more powerful than anything else. This is tawakkul that the urafa talk about. That this is the ultimate station that a person reaches. They're so sure, they have yaqeen in Allah's existence and His power, that anything they want to do, they say, I'm going to trust this to my wakil, and he's going to take care of it for me. And I'm not worried. Hence the reason why it says that a mu'min is someone who's always smiling. He's not worried. He doesn't have the look of, is this going to happen? Is this not going to happen? I'm insecure. I'm worried. I need something to give me security. Like you find people, they're insecure. If they have money, they feel secure. They can sleep at night. If there's more money in their savings account, they sleep better at night. If there's less, they don't sleep. They're worried. They're losing their hair and everything. But if their trust is in Allah, and Allah is their wakil, He says, you say to your wakil, you take care of this for me. And you're sure that He's going to take care of it for you. Another thing is that the amount of hope and umid and trust that you have in Allah is the way that He's going to respond to you. If you make a dua, and you say to Allah, that I have no one but you, I trust all of my affairs to you, then the response that you get is going to be exactly like there's no one else but Allah to help you. But if you say, Allah, I want you to help me, but just in case, I'm going to ask Uncle so-and-so and Brother so-and-so, just in case you don't come through. And this means that your trust was not in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was in something or someone else. And we find that someone like Hur on the battlefield of Karbala, after being a source for blocking Imam Hussein and causing hardship for Imam Hussein, that he says, I was the first person to block your way and cause you hardship. Let me be the first person to go and give my life for you. That I can't find myself that I have a choice to make now. I can't trust in Yazid and this army. I only want to put my trust in Allah. When you make that decision, then Allah supports you. And when he came to Imam Hussein with, they say, his sword down, or in a way that showed that he was coming peacefully, and he looks at Abu Abdullah after causing him so much pain, and he says to him, Ya Abu Abdullah, is there any forgiveness for me? I've been the source of your hardship. Is there any way that you can forgive me? The same way that the reports reach Imam Mahdi ajalallahu farajhu al-sharif, the Imam of our time, when he gets reports from us and about our deeds and our actions, and the report is plagued and filled with gunah and sin, and it causes him sadness and grief. And he says, one more day that there won't be Zuhur. Another day that I have to wait because my ummah is not ready yet. My ummah is still busy engaging in other things. Put their trust in Allah and they can be successful and ready to be my companions. And this is what saddens him. And so every moment that we have the opportunity for forgiveness, like tonight, like on this very night, we should ask Allah to put us in the category of those who are hur and free from all other material desires. And that we are ones who put our trust only in Him, and we need only Him, and we leave everything else aside. And hur, and Imam Hussein looks at him with a smile and just says, of course there's forgiveness. Unallah man la yarham la yurham. The person who doesn't show mercy doesn't receive mercy. And he forgives hur, and he goes to the battlefield, and he fights like a lion, and he becomes shaheed for Imam Hussein, and he becomes shaheed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just one moment before on one side, but his conscience and trust in Allah put him on another side. And that is the difference, my dear brothers and sisters, between paradise and hellfire. And this is how we want to find ourselves on the right side as companions of our Imam, inshallah. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya Madlum bil Karbala. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Sallallahu alayka ya Sayyid al-Shahada. Sallallahu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. Wa ala al-arwah allati hallat bifanaik. Alayka minni salamullah. وبقي الليل والنهار ولجعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. Everyone. السلام على